I'm going to talk to you. I did a Monday session specifically on care management and a project in Escambia County in Florida. So I'm Tip Ghosh. I'm adjunct faculty at Carnegie Mellon and the Heinz College in Department of Healthcare Policy and Management, and then also in Medical Management. I am also the managing director of a boutique strategy consulting firm here in the D.C. area in Arlington. So what I'm going to talk to you about is a project that's been in Wake County in Florida and in North Carolina. But what I wanted to, I'm going to go into the case study, but I want to present a framework to think about population health management. Because if you're thinking about population health management, and then there are subpopulations within particular groups, reduction of health disparities, children, families. So there's different groups to look at. So the Capital Care Collaborative is composed of safety net providers in North Carolina. It was set up in 2006 in Wake County. It's in partnership with the Wake County Medical Society, and was funded by the Duke Endowment and other community foundations. And it was formed primarily by the providers to basically deal with the issues related to uninsured and underinsured population in North Carolina. So let me get to define sort of population health management. And this, the way I'm defining population health management is to address health needs at all points along the continuum. And then the sort of the highlight to that is the engagement and targeted interventions for populations. Because it's really important to look at reduction of health disparities and dealing with underserved and uninsured in a larger context of population health management. Okay, so this is the big diagram. And this is a framework that the Care Continuum Alliance, which is a group of mostly community-based health plans and disease management and other sorts of people, have put together. And so if you look at the slide, and I'll spend a little time on this because I know it's complicated. So you start off with sort of population monitoring and identification, and then health assessment, and then risk stratification, which goes from little risk to high risk, and then within, which is very important for this audience of public health, is to look at how do you look at health promotion, wellness, and then care coordination and disease and case management within this larger context of population health. And I'll talk about the tool in a minute in terms of how you do that. So there's organizational culture, and there's tailored interventions, and you see the Venn diagrams with the individual in the middle, and then the purple is the larger community. And so the larger community, so an individual or a group of individuals of a particular group, whether it's, let's say, a minority group in North Carolina, they're embedded in a larger social context. And so if you're designing or looking at any kind of targeted intervention, it's important to recognize that you have all of these other, what I would call sort of socially embedded factors to consider when you're designing a program. And then if you look at the program outcomes, you have psychosocial outcomes, behavior change, clinical health status, productivity and satisfaction, which is important for employer groups, and then, of course, financial outcomes. And what I presented on Monday, and I'm not going to reiterate, but what we were able to show in Escambia and Santa Rosa County was a significant decrease in inappropriate ED use, which is of huge concern to hospitals and physician groups across the country. And the problem is more acute in rural and populations. Okay. So if you think about, so this system, which is an information system, acts really as a hub. And you have different access points, safety net, clinics, emergency rooms. You have eligibility, referrals, case management. And within case management, you have disease management, chronic care management. So this is, again, if you look at the previous model, and then you think about how do you do this? You know, that's all nice from a theoretical perspective, but how do you really put it into action? This is the way to put it into action, is you need an information system. As we all know, that if you look at an information system inside a hospital or a large multi-specialty group, there isn't one system. I mean, it's a patchwork of lots of systems cobbled together over time. It's not a unified architecture. So you really need to have some information system to be able to pull appropriate data that you need across the board. And that's really what sort of is the heart of this population health system. So this slide illustrates the different access points. So you have how many people are here from federally qualified health centers or clinics? Anyone? Okay. Which has been a big theme for this meeting is FQHCs and the role that FQHCs play, not only as safety net providers, but an entire... I sort of see federally qualified health centers not just as a health center, but really a third place in terms of a neighborhood. I grew up in New York City, and there were health centers pretty much all through Queens and Brooklyn, and I did a lot of work in West Virginia. And the only care in rural West Virginia was the health center. I mean, there wasn't anything else. You didn't have a hospital to go to. So there's a whole range of services that FQHCs provide, not just direct medical care. And I think that's sort of lost on people who don't grow up in those communities, and especially in North Carolina. Wake is certainly more urban, but the counties that surround Wake are quite rural, with a whole host of issues related to disparities. So you have hospitals, you have social service agencies, the larger community, and then free clinics. Okay, so again, this is a busy slide, but this goes into, so if you were to put together a population health management program for a particular community, let's say in a rural area, what would you, what are some of the things you need to do? So you'd have to determine eligibility, if they are eligible for some sort of either Medicaid or some sort of policy. You need some advanced case management. You'd have to have some sort of appointment tracking and scheduling. And then you'd have some connection with the community. And then the other thing, which is important for ultimately, an information system is only good as how much you can report and use. So the reporting aspect, being able to create reports based on certain information, is very important. Okay, I know this is a lot. I'll go back to my circles because I like that framework. I teach population health management, so to me, that's what I use to illustrate to the students in terms of what the connections are. So the role of the system. So key is determining eligibility for Medicaid and other reimbursable programs. And then the other thing, which is really important, especially if you're dealing with patients that have multiple chronic conditions, is to provide some medication assistance for the big ticket items, hypertension, diabetes, heart failure, which are very common. I was at the ARC meeting a couple of weeks ago for their annual research meeting, and there still isn't, which I was surprised at, because I've been interested in heart failure. My dad had heart failure. Among older African-American men, for example, the ability to screen for heart failure and to have some sort of disease registry where you track people, when I asked ARC and the American College of Cardiology, doesn't exist. Okay? So you're talking about a pretty large population of people. And usually, if you have congestive heart failure, I know this from taking care of my father, you're talking about 12 to 16 different medications that they're on. This is not one, okay? So my mom had to color code everything, and being able to keep track of all of Dad's medications was really hard. So the idea of having coordination for medication assistance for people with multiple conditions, and if you're having heart failure, you got a little bit of hypertension, you got some other stuff in there too. So it's not just one condition. So it, as far as this case study, you know, I'm sort of going back and forth because I didn't want to just focus on the case study. It was used as 6 primary care organizations, 3 different hospital systems, prescription assistance, and so there was a system interface that actually interfaced with the community-based medical practices. And he uses CareScope as a primary system of referrals, appointments, and reporting. Again, I want to make the distinction that this care management system isn't an electronic medical record. Most people, when they think about health IT, solely focus on the EMR. Now, having an EMR is really important, especially for physician practices, but there's a lot of other things that are going on besides an electronic medical record. As the name implies, electronic medical record only covers medical. As you know, if you're providing care in the community, it's not just medical. There's a whole range of services, and that's where a integrated care management or a population health management system provides that. The other thing that was done was SSI, Outreach and Recovery, so they had a specialist that worked with homeless and mental health clients who were eligible for disability, and it's really important, especially if you're dealing with homeless veterans, which is another project that we've got going on separate from this, determining eligibility. If you've got rural populations, which tend to have a larger percentage, especially in North Carolina, of rural veterans, it's important that you have that outreach. And then as I talked about Medicaid eligibility. All right, so future directions. There have been some excellent sessions here at APHA on patient-centered medical home. And so I didn't want to create a slide. I thought about doing all this last night, but I said, I'm just going to talk. The opportunity that exists for federally qualified health centers, rural clinics, to go into some sort of medical home pilot is a real opportunity because you've got some dollars at the table that you can access. NCQA, and the next slide is going to talk about the levels that NCQA provides in terms of a certification process. A patient-centered medical home has a significant component of population health. That's basically what this is, right? I mean, it's not just about the provider. From the provider, there's a number of benefits. But if you're talking about people who are sick and who have needs, population health management is where they sit. So to really have, I mean, the key term in here is patient-centered, right? The idea of the medical home is nice. But ultimately, as Dr. Berwick says, it's about having an engaged and participatory process and being inclusive of all the people that walk into your clinic. That's really, to me, my definition of patient-centeredness. Patient-centeredness isn't about re-engineering process, which is important from a provider perspective, but really including the patient in the whole continuum of care is really the goal of a medical home. The other thing I wanted to talk about, depending on which state you're in, and North Carolina's got an excellent infrastructure and a statewide HIE, and they've got pilots. And so if you're designing a care management program or a population health management program, you can link up to the larger state initiatives that some of them are, you know, been a big push in terms of what the Office of the National Coordinator has done. So those are sort of future directions. I don't know if I went through this too quickly. All right. So this slide, because I thought about it, and I said, well, let's say you did start on level 1 of a medical home, right? And you were to think about your population health management strategy, and then you thought about the IT tools that supports this. So the slide that I didn't go over, which I created, the GHOSH framework, if you will. So if you look at the role of health IT as a support and enabler for population health and health transformation, ultimately, that's really the goal of health IT. It's not the tool itself. It's the things that it can do. And ultimately, improving quality of care, improving health status is really what, from a care provider's perspective, is what they're interested in. So if you look at the bullet points, and this is taken from NCQA, access and communication, patient tracking, care management, self-management support, which is very important for multiple chronic conditions, test tracking and follow-up, and then performance reporting and improvement. So performance reporting and improvement, if I wear my sort of administrator's hat, in any state, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, they have multitude of reporting requirements. So it's really important that you have an IT system, a care management system, that helps you to deal with performance reporting, e-prescribing, and then electronic communication. Those are all of the things, to me, is part of an overall population health strategy. So if you really, from a strategy perspective, if you think that the patient-centered medical home is somehow independent of what you're doing from a care management or population health management, to me, it flows together. Now, this is not something that a lot of people have really thought about. There were some excellent sessions yesterday on patient-centered medical home, but they really didn't approach it from a population health management perspective, which for rural populations, because that's what this session's about, is especially important, because in rural, the isolation that these people have, the fact that they have to get in their truck and drive 40 miles to go see someone when they're sick, is a real challenge. You know, in West Virginia or North Carolina, where I spent a lot of time, I mean, going up those hollers, you know, 45 minutes, going up at a 90-degree angle is not easy, especially when bad weather. So the fact is that for a rural population, it's really important that you look at it sort of holistically. So that's it.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tip.